Welcome back, everyone. This is episode 45 of the Golden Goal podcast. We were unable to do an episode over the weekend as I was out of town. So here we are on Tuesday, October 13th, and we are back. Javi, how you doing?
Fantastic. Finally, international break is over. Thank the Lord.
Yeah, and it ends tomorrow, but it's basically over.
Prem's starting again this weekend. So we're probably just going to touch up on the games that happened 2 weekends ago, right?
Yeah, so not this weekend, but yeah, the last weekend. We're going to touch on just a few. Preview a little bit on what's going on this weekend around the world. And then maybe a couple extra touches and call it a day. So we'll try to be out of here pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. We're just going to do the Liverpool-Aston Villa wild match.
That was a wild weekend.
To be fair. And then the Spurs-United, and then the state of City, and maybe some of the other big teams in the Prem. And any other games that are notable throughout Europe. So, we'll kick off with Liverpool-Aston Villa, the most recent one in our mind that I know both of us got to watch. 7-2 to Aston Villa. Aston Villa, who probably didn't score three or more goals in a single game last season, scored seven against last year's champions and the year before's Champions League winners.
Yeah, I'm not going to
initial thoughts?
I mean, I didn't see that coming at all. I should have put money on this game.
Would have won a ton of money.
Would have won a ton of money, to be honest.
If you bet Aston Villa.
7-2. I mean, yeah, like you said, Aston Villa was notorious for not being able to fucking score last season. And now, I guess, since Grealish signed a new contract, it was like a new signing. Aston Villa's been come back to life. They're killing it. I think they are in... they're in second place right, so far. They're in second place.
Just as everyone predicted.
But let's put it here right now. Liverpool's defense is sus. It's suspect. And this might be a hot take, Lee, but you might agree with me. I think Trent Alexander-Arnold is overrated on defense. I think what makes him good is him going forward, but I think he's pretty shit at defense, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it. Not only did we see it this game, but we saw it against Leeds on opening day. We saw Jack Harrison, who played college soccer. I like to remind everybody. Despite what Javi and I may say about college soccer and others will say about college soccer, Jack Harrison played for Wake Forest. And he absolutely turned Trent Alexander-Arnold inside out opening weekend. And now he's part of a defense that allows seven... A touchdown, and an extra point to Aston Villa, who couldn't score more than a goal a game last year. So, he's definitely been questionable on the defensive side of the ball this year. And I want to lead with this before I get into the game. And before we get into any of these high-scoring games, because... In the opening, 4 weeks of the season? I think this has been the highest scoring Premier League season so far through the first 4 weeks than it has in years.
Yeah.
Long time.
Yeah.
Now, I want, before I, you know, start to tear into, you know, United's defense, City's defense, Liverpool's defense, I think a lot of it needs to be put into perspective because of what an anomaly year this has been for sports in general, not even just soccer, football. They end the season, a few months ago?
Yeah.
The 2019-2020 season.
Mm-hmm.
They end a few months ago. They don't really have an off season, maybe like a couple weeks, 3 weeks. And you can't really go anywhere, to my understanding, in Europe. So they're not, you know, kicking it on the beach or, you know, really relaxing. Yeah. They're with their family. They're with their ball and chains. They're, you know, spending time with the kids. They're not really, you know, getting away from it all per se. Yeah. And then a few weeks later, they're back to it again.
Mm-hmm.
And we've heard in the past, Premier League coaches, you know, or MLS coaches, any coaches for that matter, saying, oh, you know, 5 weeks, 6 weeks is not enough time to prepare for the grueling season that our leagues, you know, bring to us.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have half of that and plus a crazy transfer window.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no surprise that, you know, teams are not on their game. So yeah. I think this is going to be a wild season.
It's going to be a shit show, a defense, defensively, yeah, I think.
It's going to be fun for us as viewers to an extent,
yeah.
unless your team is the one that gets shat upon. But there's going to be a lot of goals, I think.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like you said, the whole entire coronavirus thing has been weird. A lot of players didn't really get, I guess, the sufficient amount of rest that they usually do postseason. So I'm sure mentally a lot of the players are drained. As a team, everyone's drained. And then you just start back up the league again like, you know, like nothing ever happened. And it's been a wild ride. I mean, defensively, the top six teams have been shit. Like, the normal, like, top six teams that you think about, like your Chelsea's, Man United's, Arsenal's, Man City's, all those, it's been shit. And even Chelsea, look, I mean, they gave up three against West Brom in the first half. I mean, against teams that you should really not be struggling against. We're gonna see how it goes, man. I mean, I think the season's gonna come down to one, if you can keep everyone healthy, and two, like, who has the least shit defense, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think the so far first 4 weeks have shown that all of the teams, not even just top six, all of the teams are going to have games, even if it's against lesser opponents, where they're just going to not show up.
Yeah.
City's not going to show up against Leicester. Liverpool's not going to show up against Aston Villa. I mean, United, we'll get to that game in a second, but they don't show up against Spurs whatsoever. They get a red card, so that takes into account a little bit. But they don't show up.
Yeah.
And Aston Villa, they're 3-0. Everton, they're 4-0. They're going to have games where they don't show up, and they're going to get spanked.
Yeah.
And I think with the scenario of this season and just how, you know, this year has been just bonkers, that's just going to be how it's going to be. And I think for anyone as a fan, as soon as you accept that, the less harsh it'll be on you for the season.
Yeah.
Because even Everton fans who are 4-0 and have had rough seasons, you know, for as long as we can remember, they're going to have a game against West Brom or Fulham or somebody where they're just going to not show up and drop points.
Well, they're a Hamas injury away from... Also, I mean,
that's true. Richarlison, I think, went down recently.
So a lot of a lot of these teams that don't have the squad depth, like Everton, who have a really good starting 11, one of their top players go missing, you're kind of fucked. I mean, and that goes for a lot of teams, not just Everton, but a lot of teams that rely on their starting 11, really good starting 11, but maybe lack that squad depth that maybe, say, your cities or even Spurs now, like, have, you know. It's gonna come down. It really is gonna come down to who can stay fit.
Yeah.
And you're right. Yeah. Like, you're right. It's, I know Everton. It's coming, man. Like, a bad game is coming.
First real test is this weekend
against Liverpool. Yep. You're right. So we'll really have to test the resilience and see how good they actually really are.
Yeah. And I don't want to totally switch gears, but I do want to say about MLS as well. Even though they're seasons don't align, they start at different times, they end at different times, the start and stop of MLS that MLS had, and to where their season aligns a little bit more, has also related in terms of the rustiness You know, defensively, there's been a lot more goals, it feels like, in MLS this year than there has in the past. Even with the lack of quality, and we talk about, people talk about all the time, the defense in MLS, you know, it's not, you know, what Europe's defenses are. It's not what, you know, they bolster their rosters in attack, but they don't necessarily bolster their rosters in defense. But still, in MLS, we're seeing, you know, games get bogged down with, you know, people getting injured, people being out for international duty, you know, just a lot more goals all over the place. Yeah. They're across the world in leagues, I feel like, because of this anomaly year that we're having. But, Aston Villa, to try to bring things back to where we initially started, Aston Villa, 7 goals against a full-on side Liverpool. Perfectly healthy. Started basically their original 11. I will say this about Aston Villa. There's nothing much to say positive about Liverpool. I think it's going to be an up-and-down year for everybody, so it's really going to be hard to say who, you know, perseveres through all this. But Aston Villa, a lot of people had them in relegation this year, which, including myself. Ollie Watkins, great signing.
Yeah.
Ross Barkley, great signing.
Yep.
Matty Cash, right back, great signing. Emilio Martinez, great signing.
Yeah.
Those are all key positions, a midfielder, a striker, a fullback, and a goalkeeper that they lacked last year. They had Reyna on loan last year, but, you know, people who are on loan, especially with a struggling side, like how much
of a difference are you going to really make?
Yeah, exactly. But then you bring in a fullback, you bring in a more of a creative midfielder, and you bring in a guy who can actually score goals, which they did not have last year.
And there you go.
There you go. You brought yourself from a relegation battle team to someone who maybe
can,
you know, maybe clears relegation by 9, 10, 12 points.
Yeah. Makes a difference.
It makes a big difference. So where they may not have gone in a complete overhaul, they made good signings. And I am really impressed by what they've done with their squad build.
Yeah.
I know it's early, and they will have their up and downs.
Yeah.
But I think they are going to be better off with those signings that they made.
Yeah.
I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
No, I agree 100%. I'm actually jealous because they did a way better job in the transfer window than United. So,
and that's a good segue.
That's a good segue.
United Spurs.
Yeah, I was telling you right before we came on, like literally right before we came on the air, I told you I wasn't going to rant because I'm just tired, man. I'm just tired. I don't know how to explain it.
Without being like on repeat.
I mean, we'll just dissect the performance for what it was. I mean, like you said, they didn't show up to play. Harry Maguire, I'm going to say it right now, and I've had a couple of weeks now to just think about it. I mean, he's shit. I mean, I actually think he's kind of shit, to be honest with you. I think he lacks, to be honest, I think he lacks leadership and he lacks balls in terms of, like, when your whole entire team is doing bad, he doesn't seem like he's the type of person or has the character to pick up a team when they're down. And it just shows by his body language, his performances. Like, no one is expecting, obviously, a player to be, not make mistakes. I mean, Van Dijk makes mistakes. He's a center back. But he just doesn't bring, that same presence in the back like Van Dijk did when he came to Liverpool, the way, you know, Maguire now comes to United. I mean, it's night and day, and Maguire costs more than Van Dijk now. I don't think Maguire would be bad, but I think he needs a better defender paired next to him. I don't think Maguire's the type of person to come in and overhaul a defense. You could tell his athleticism is shit. He's slow. He's a tall guy, and his heading is also not that good either. And this is the second time he's tackled his own player. I don't know if you saw that. He kind of pulled down Luke Shaw for the goal.
That
one of
goal,
the goals he scored.
That goal was comical.
I know.
I mean, he had two chances to, you know, clear his lines, and then failed both times, and then essentially tackled his own player from preventing the preventing the goal, and was also, you know, at fault for future goals as well, because that was early in the game.
Yep.
And where I agree with you, you know, he needs Eric Bailly isn't it.
No.
He needs a partner. I don't know if Lindelhoff is it either.
No.
Most likely not. He is not, for this caliber of club, he is not captain material.
No.
I don't know who is in this team. Maybe Bruno Fernandes. Maybe. Maybe Marcus Rashford, even though he's young.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. That's about it for the conversation, though. Yeah. And if he's not captain material, leadership material, what is he? He's literally, essentially just a filler center back until they can find somebody better.
If I had to compare him to someone, he's a more expensive Huth.
Robert Huth.
Huth, Robert Huth.
From Leicester City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can take that as anyone who's a United can take that as you will, but, I mean, essentially, that's what he is. I had a bad feeling when we signed them last year. And, like, I didn't want to admit it. That's because you always back your players when they come in. Like, And I still do. Like, I don't think he's, like, obviously, I don't think we should sell him. I mean, I think he can still be good. But I just had a feeling that we weren't, what we paid for isn't what we were going to get. And it's coming to fruition now. Which, again, like, just comes back to, like, United. I mean, let's not even get there. But, like, let's dissect the rest of the game. I don't even want to get into more detail on that. But, anyways, Maguire has been suspect for, I don't know how long. And, obviously, what happened in Greece hasn't been. I mean, there's been a lot of off-the-pitch controversies with United right now that it's, like, not. That's not helping their cause as a team either.
A lot of pundits, media members will pitch the case that what happened in Greece, Mykonos, has dwelled on his mind. I mean, I know he has maybe like a trial or
some like
other
that.
Legal stuff to sort out with that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Have dwelled on his mind a little bit in the past few weeks, and has maybe played a part in why he's been so bad.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it hasn't been just him.
No, it hasn't been just him.
Is he? And to your point, he hasn't lived up to his transfer fee. Part of that is because the transfer market is so inflated right now.
And English players.
You know, nobody is very few are worth what people pay for.
100%. And also, it's just the English tax when you're an English player, you know?
Yeah.
You have to pay an absurd amount. But let's keep on moving forward with this game. So Pogba also has been ass. He's been fucking terrible. I don't know what's going on with him. And then he's like, you hate seeing this on the news, but now it's like I'm numb to it now. But he's always, like, I don't know if you saw this. He's talking about Real Madrid and how it's his dream. I don't know if you saw that article on Bleacher Report.
Yeah, well, if that's his dream, he's got to be putting in 100% in everything. Well,
if I'm Real Madrid now and I'm looking at his performances, I don't even want him.
No,
to be
no
honest
way.
With you, I don't even want him. And if I'm United, I'm questioning whether we want to even renew his contract. To be honest, and will they probably? Yes, of course, because the board and the Glazers are fucking stupid. I mean, they'll renew him, but as me as a fan, like, I don't even know if I want. I'd rather have Van de Beek starting. He's been playing a lot better. The Martial red card I thought was soft.
Yeah, that was a bullshit red card.
If Martial got a red card, I think Lamela should have gotten one too, or both should have gotten a yellow. I think
needed to be reviewed.
That needed to be reviewed, and this is again with the VAR stuff. Like, what is it that you can review, and what, you know? It's stuff like this, and it's just not just because it's United, but just like with any, it's just the stuff like this that pisses me off with VAR. Because it's so clear when you look at Lamela started it. He hit him. He elbowed him in the face, and I get it. Martial shouldn't have reacted like that. But it's
those
like,
Argentines, man. But they, it's like, oh, yeah. Don't but even like, get me started. That's another conversation.
But it's like, why do we have VAR? if we're not going to use it for stuff like this? Like, why do we have it, right? It
yeah, because it's clear he throws the first, you know, he provokes the whole the whole confrontation. Yeah. The punishment should be equal for both of them. But regardless, I think United still lose the game.
Yeah, I agree.
They're burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
They sign Christian Telles.
Good signing.
I like that signing. But it's not going to be enough. No center back.
No center back. Van de Beek was solid.
Van de Beek was a good signing. Two young, inexperienced wingers. Edinson Cavani, who literally nobody wanted.
No.
And you got on a free.
Yeah.
And he's over the hill. He's hasn't played a competitive game in almost a year.
Yeah, yeah.
A very questionable signing. Yeah. Like, it's not enough.
No.
It's not enough.
And the most embarrassing part is they were linked to Sancho since last summer. And I'm sure you were keeping up with, like, the new. I mean, it was probably, like, a big news topic. I mean, since June, right, they said personal terms agree with Sancho and agent, whatever. They just needed to pay the fee to Dortmund. And United, thinking that they still have the big dick that they think they have in the market, you know, they're like, oh, we'll just wait till deadline day to make, like, a shitty attempt at signing him. Dortmund is, you got to know, Dortmund, they stick with their price. Like, they don't sell for, they don't sell, yeah. Whatever they say their price is, they're not going to, if they ask for 108 million, they're not going any lower.
And I have heard people say this on Twitter, and it's very true. Dortmund, if you're looking to buy from them, they are a tough team to do business with. They are not really going to negotiate with you. They have a price, they have terms, and they're not really going to budge for you.
No.
And you have to respect that because of the business they've done in the past with Lewandowski to Bayern. They've dealt other players to Bayern. They've dealt...
Osama Dembele to Barcelona.
Who's that?
Dembele to Barcelona.
Dembele to Barcelona.
Ridiculous fee.
Pulisic to Chelsea. Like, they do not budge on their prices, and they are where they are, you know, with their team and with their future, you know, net spend money because of that.
Yeah.
And you have a business like Manchester United. You have to be willing to invest that little bit extra for a player because of the financial benefit that you can get
in the
long term.
Yeah.
And that can get you results. And that can get you jersey sales.
Yeah.
And that can get you X, Y, and Z. Yeah. You have to be willing to invest that a little bit extra to get, you know, the value out of it.
Yeah.
You can't be a cheap ass about it.
No.
I mean, this is a United team. Every time I think about how United doesn't want to go that extra mile to spend on a player, I think about the fact that at least up until this year, United could have played games behind closed doors, let any fans in the stadium, and would have still turned a profit at the end of the year.
Yeah.
From what I understand.
Yeah.
They could have had their TV deals, their merchandise sales, their, you know, all this stuff, and they could be turning profit. But now they've had 2-3 years of below average teams, not spending on the right players, no trophies, this and that and the other. Now that's not the case. Now they're a financial, you know, now they're not as financially sound as they used to be.
No, yeah.
They can't maybe, you know, have no fans in the stands for every year, whether they're forced to or not, and turn a profit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because fans, now they're not turning their backs, but, you know,
are getting tired.
They're getting tired of it. They really are.
Yeah. And like you said, it's just the extra mile. I mean, it was so obvious Sancho was willing to come here. A lot of stuff, it's like, this is a... These are the type of signings, statement signings, that you need to make. And it just looks bad in the club, and it's just embarrassing, right? Like, a player that was, all you had to do was pretty much pay the fee to get it done, and they didn't want to do that for whatever reason. And The COVID excuse is stupid because a lot of teams were spending money. And like you said, they didn't even spend it on the right players. We needed a center back. They didn't get a center back. We needed a right winger who can come in right now and make a difference. Not like for the future, which I still think maybe those young players that they got could be something. But they don't come in like Jadon Sancho does on the right wing and make a difference. Like, you know, it's right. Just it's just frustrating because you do Ole. I'm surprised he even got third place last year. I don't even know how the hell he did it. He literally sucked all the water out of, like, you know, like a towel, or not a towel, like a rag.
Yeah.
You're just like taking all the water out. Just
That's how a much perfect he can. Analogy.
And like, we're like, oh, okay, we're in the transfer window. He said he asked for a center back, a midfielder, and a right winger, and I think like a striker or something like that. I think that's what he asked for. He asked for Jadon Sancho. He wanted like Upamecano, center back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he wanted Grealish or Van de Beek, one of those two. So he got the center mid, didn't get the center back, didn't get the fucking right winger. I mean, it's like, so at this point, it's like.
And that's a good segue to my last few points. I'm going to rattle off before we move on. You had mentioned to me how United have De Gea, Henderson,
Romero
on like thousands and thousands of pounds a week.
They're all the best
on fucking people. Goalkeepers who are all good goalkeepers. But why the fuck do we need? Do you guys need three of them? And that's just one of the many examples of how
poorly run. Know,
poorly run on a roster side of things. Yeah. This club is being run, and then a segue into Ole. This dude, and I side with Mark Goldbridge on this. He's very entertaining.
Yeah.
I enjoy watching him, especially when United lose. Is he the best of the best? No. Is he the guy to, you know, take United to the next level? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
But this dude is going to get fired, not because of his own incompetencies, but because of the board's incompetencies.
Yeah.
And you could probably argue that Van Gaal and David Moyes and Mourinho were probably the victim to that as well. Were they the guys to take United to the, you know, the next level that they needed to be at? Probably not.
Uh-huh.
But ultimately, they failed because the board, you know, because of their own incompetencies. Not necessarily because of the coach.
The coaching, no. The coaching.
And now every year, you're stuck with dead weight every single year. And Ole is going to be another victim, most likely, at some point this year. Or maybe even early next year if he makes it that far. And I was going to say, the bench for their last game, you have Lingard, you have Mata.
It's just...
I mean, you
the
still
same
have...
It's the same players from, like, 7 years ago.
Yeah, and you have Dean Henderson on the bench, who had an amazing season last year. You still have De Gea in the net. Yeah.
You got Phil Jones.
Phil
making
Jones.
$80,000 a week.
Fred, I mean, the list goes on.
I mean, it's just...
Incompetencies.
So this is what I'm saying, like, now. It's just, like, instead of me ranting about the game... I mean, I know we got thumped 6-1. But it's just a bigger issue than that now. It's a bigger issue than that now. And like I said, man, and I told all my friends, anyone can call me plastic fans. I'm going to end it on this before we move on. I'm not getting up for 6 a.m. games. I don't care anymore. And like, it's not because like I don't want the club to do well. Like, it's just not, it's more of the fact, it's like, why am I going to waste my energy? It's like, it's emotionally and physically exhausting to watch United, to be honest. Because I know, like, no matter how well we do, we can take two steps forward, or we can take a step forward, but I know we're going to do two steps backwards every time. So it's like, I don't even get excited when we do well or when we go on good runs, because I know there's going to be a good fuck-up coming around in the next couple games. And overall, the board's just going to do something dumb. Like, the transfer windows, I don't even get excited for that anymore. So... sooner or later, I don't know, man. I don't know. It doesn't matter how big of a club you think you are. If you run poorly, eventually it's going to catch up to you. Eventually. Yeah. Yeah, and absolutely. I hope Ole gets fired only because now the fingers are going to be pointed at the board, not the coach. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, we got thumped 6-1. It fucking sucked, but Spurs, I mean, I didn't even talk about Spurs, but they look good. I mean, Spurs look good.
Yeah, Spurs look good. Spurs look good. I think the result was more that United looked bad.
But Spurs look pretty decent
now. Spurs do look good. Like every team, and I'll even say it about City, which we'll transition into before, that'll be the last game we talk about. Spurs are going to have their, I mean, they've already had a couple so far. They're going to have their down games.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that we're talking about Daniel fucking Levy.
Spending money. Yeah, I don't know what. 2020, man.
And
during coronavirus.
They didn't spend anybody.
I think the year they went to the semifinals of the Champions League. They didn't buy anything. They spent zero.
Right. And then last year they brought in Ndombele.
And now supposedly we got coronavirus.
Yeah.
Or something. He's fucking spending. I don't know, man. The Mourinho effect.
Right. I don't get it. But yeah.
But anyways,
Daniel Levy, you know, spending on players. It's crazy. Crazy year. Just crazy.
Crazy year. I don't get it.
But I mean, like Spurs, like United, like Liverpool, like everybody. I don't know what is going to come out of City this year. Obviously, on paper, they should do well. They should go on. They should come first place. They should win FA Cup, Mickey Mouse Cup. You know, they should do whatever.
God knows Spurs need it.
Spurs do need it. But, I mean, they tie leads. They drop more points. I don't know. I feel like right now, City could literally lose to anybody or beat the shit out of anybody.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is not enough.
No,
For the amount that they've spent, for the players that they do have, regardless whether they're injured or not. Well,
I mean, yeah. I mean, spent your deep. I mean, I guess so, since Guardiola's been here.
They bring in Ruben Dias, who, you know, I'm not going to criticize his performance. He went straight into the squad for literally the first game that he was available for. I think it says a lot that this dude went straight into the squad the very first game.
Yeah, yeah.
More than anything else.
You guys need center backs. It sounds how desperate.
It must be that bad.
Yeah.
That this dude from Benfica goes straight into the squad first game he's available. And granted, it's no defender's fault on the goal. It's a corner kick that Ederson drops.
Yeah.
Which we talked about it before the show.
Poundland Allison. Poundland.
Yeah, he's a Kmart version of Allison. Great with his feet, not great with his hands. Hardly see him make any truly big saves. But, you know, United, or City, I should say, they are too sus to, you know, drop points, regardless to who.
Yeah.
And yeah. Do I see them dropping points against a bottom 5-6 team this year? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Maybe more than once.
Yeah.
And that's just how this year is going. And I'm literally going to take it game by game, week by week for all of these teams this year.
I agree.
Because I don't see anyone
having a good consistent run.
I don't see a year like last year where Liverpool win by 20 points.
No, neither do I.
And that's for any team. No. I think this year is too much of an anomaly, and that there are going to be players that come down with the virus, which I'm going to get into about international break in a bit. Mm-hmm. But players are going to come down with the virus. They're going to be out for, you know, 2 weeks, and then they're going to have to quarantine, and it could become 3-4 weeks.
And then if another player gets sick,
player gets sick, it's just going to ruin the whole rhythm, momentum of the season for a lot of teams.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be just so up and down this year.
Yeah.
And City are going to be one of those teams. I think literally anybody in this league could be, you know, prone to that. Should City be beating Leeds? Yes. Do Leeds, you know, Leeds have the potential to bloody a few noses with the top half teams? Absolutely they do. But it's just not enough from anybody right now.
No, it's not in the It's disappointing, I guess. I don't really know.
And I'll segue that into this international break that we're on right now should have never happened. The guy that plays for the Sounders, their leading striker, plays for Peru. They have CONMEBOL qualification this week. He's got the virus. He was in interaction with his Peru team. He played Paraguay this week. He played maybe even another team tonight. He's going to have to quarantine and miss the rest of the MLS season because of this international break. There are still about 6 games left in the MLS break, or the MLS season. He's going to have to miss essentially the rest of the games because of this international break. Cristiano Ronaldo got the virus today.
He was with the whole entire
Portuguese team. And he played against France.
And against big-name players who play for big-name teams. And he was pretty much with all the Wolves players.
And then before this break... Yeah.
The entire... R.I.P. I sent you a message. R.I.P. Wolves.
Yeah. Basically the Portuguese team. And then before this break, David Moyes had the virus. You know, we were having... Gundogan had the virus. Yeah, A couple city players had the virus. Like, how... I'll be curious to see if any teams have to postpone games this year in the Premier League or any league in Europe.
Because it could get bad.
Especially because of international breaks. If we keep having these international breaks, if we have another one in November, say.
I don't like this.
Is this going to disrupt the season, which has already been, you know, a crazy one with... No off season and all this stuff.
Yeah. No, yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I agree. I think it was a foolish decision to let that. I mean, you just have players from all over the world playing against each other. And like you said, you can have it and you don't even know it yet, you know? So, and you could pass it on to someone else and vice versa. I mean, all it takes is one person. Exactly. All it takes is one person.
Yeah, and Ronaldo is with his whole Portuguese team. Who knows? Bernardo Silva might have it. Pepe might have it.
Bruno could have it. The whole entire Wolves team.
The whole entire Wolves squad.
I didn't like it. And also, I just don't even like international breaks. So on top of that, like, it just pisses me off even more. So
and a lot of these, I mean, I know CONMEBOL is qualification right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Mexico is doing friendlies. Friendlies.
Yeah, I saw.
African nations and Asian nations, just friendlies. UEFA's doing this stupid fucking UEFA Nations League, which nobody truly understands start to finish, it seems
they're
like.
They're just trying to make it more intense.
Like, do we really need... Is it absolutely a necessity
to do
to have these games?
No. No, I'd argue no.
With the risk of ruining... what we have left of the European leagues right now. All the leagues are playing outside of Germany, who's allowing fans in, I believe. All these leagues are playing behind closed doors with no fans.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're just potentially ruining it.
You're potentially ruining what we have left of league play.
Yeah.
So... It's a question mark for me. In my opinion, this specific international break should not have happened. In any region of the world.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's just my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing I want to point out before moving to extra touches is West Ham have spanked the last two teams they have played. Wolves and I believe it was Leicester.
Yeah.
3-0 and 4-0.
Weird, dude.
And it's without David Moyes on the sideline who had the virus. So the question becomes, are they better without David Moyes?
The assistant coach, man, is making a case.
Moisiah. It may not be the Moisiah after all.
The Moisiah. Yeah, man. I don't know. Weird. Because they didn't really make a lot of signings. And I think
they don't think they signed anybody.
And I think they got rid of Felipe Anderson.
They did just loan Felipe Anderson. Oh, they loaned him somewhere. I don't know where he went, but they loaned him, I think.
So, I don't know. Weird.
Just a wild season.
It's weird.
I can't emphasize it enough. It's going to be wild and unpredictable. Unpredictable every week.
Do you want to talk about the games this weekend real quick? I mean, there's some good ones coming up.
Yeah, let me look.
We have the Merseyside Derby between Everton and Liverpool.
That's an early one. Saturday, 6:30. City Arsenal.
I think it's a test for Everton, a real test to see how, you know, to see if the signings they made can step up to the plate, man, and against a bigger team. And Liverpool, we'll see if they can recover from the shit show that was 7-2 against Aston Villa.
Yeah, Men in Blazers, because I know one of the Men in Blazers is an Everton fan.
Oh, okay.
After the Aston Villa game, he said, "Wow, I'd hate to be the next team that plays Liverpool after that thumping." And of course, it's his own team.
He's Everton. Like, "Shit."
that'll be Everton's real first test, I think.
Chelsea plays Southampton. Decent game. City versus Arsenal. I'll tell you this, dude, and I hate to admit this, Arsenal kind of looked decent, and they signed Partey.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see if he, you know, starts this weekend.
And how he adapts to the Prem and all that stuff. This is kind of a jab at Arsenal, but what's funny is on deadline day, they got rid of Gunnar Soares, their mascot, and then right after that, they signed Partey. So small club mentality, you had to get rid of your mascot to sign Partey. Let me just point that out there for everyone there.
Somebody put on Twitter today how they want to, I don't remember who specifically they said, but an Arsenal fan talked about, you know, I think it would be great if we signed, you know, this striker to replace Lacazette this striker or this center back to replace David Luiz. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, dude, you can't even afford to pay your mascot. Oh, man. Yeah, Arsenal, oh, man.
Weird.
Can't pay Gunnar Soares, but they can pay Thomas Partey.
That's what I think is, that's suspect. I don't know. It's weird to me.
That just sums up 2020.
Because how much does Gunnar Soares make a year? Like
20K?
Like 20K, 80, or maybe because he's been there a while. So we'll say like 70,000 pounds or
for
something.
For a mascot, a year. Bro? A year.
But,
oh,
but he's been there for a while. So I don't know. Who knows?
You don't know if it's the same guy.
Or is it the same guy? But
or girl.
Or girl. So you can't pay him, but you can pay 50 million for. It's just. I'm telling you, man.
It's
this soccer,
it's bollocks.
It's weird. It's weird.
It's
I don't
bollocks.
Get it. But Arsenal look pretty decent. But I still think they're going to. I still think maybe City can actually try to win. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. And then Newcastle play Man United. Anything other than a win here, I'm probably going to Falco punch my TV. So stay tuned for that.
Poolcastle. I'm telling you, man, anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
And then Sheffield Fulham could be a decent watch just because both teams are really struggling right now. Spurs, West Ham, both
good.
In good form, could be a decent watch. Yeah.
Then Leicester and Aston Villa, both in
good
form.
I'm taking Aston Villa in that one, man.
Yeah.
I'm taking Aston Villa. Okay. But that's going to be Sunday. Sunday is going to – actually, Saturday, too. It's going to be a day's worth of footy.
Yeah.
You got a 6:30, a 9, 11:30, and 2 Central Time on Saturday. And then you got a 6, an 8, a 10:30, and a 1:15 game on Sunday. We don't really get those times.
No, it's weird. And then we got Monday, too. West Brom, Burnley, and Leeds Wolves on Monday.
Leeds Wolves could be an exciting one.
So there's some good games this weekend.
Some good games to look forward to for sure. We're not going to go deep into any of those, really. Yeah. Liverpool, Everton, I would recommend watching.
I think that's going to be the best one of the weekend.
Everton, I think, have been the most fun team to watch so far.
Yeah.
Ancelotti's got them playing good footy. They may be without Richarlison, but Calvert-Lewin, man. Calvert-Lewin has been on it.
Moise
he's
Keane
been
who?
On one. Yeah, who's Moise Keane?
I think he's on loan to PSG, isn't he?
Did he?
Yeah. I swear, I think I saw that.
I'm going to look that up, actually. Let's see.
What a dumb move. He should just stay where he was, man. I don't know.
I don't see Moise Keane on FOTMOB for transfers, but they did bring in Ben Godfrey from Norwich, and they brought in another goalkeeper, Robin Olsen, who was at Roma, but he was also loaned to Cagliari from Roma last season.
Okay.
So, they're not stopping. They're bringing dudes in. They've got ambition, to say the least, for a change. Everton. So yeah, it'll be a good one. It'll be the real first test for Everton, who have played, you know, bottom half side so far. And, you know, if they get a point, if they can get a point here, they'll prove to me that they're kind of the real deal.
Yeah, yeah.
And not only a point, like, hanging on for a point, but, you know, like a good game. Back and forth sort of game.
Yeah, yeah.
So that'll be interesting to one to watch. That's 6:30 on Saturday. But that's all we got for Prem. We'll probably touch on Bundesliga next episode and all the other leagues, but we want to touch on that for today. Extra touches, you got anything?
No, not off the top of my head. So
I have one off the top of my head. Jill Ellis, the former U.S. Women's National Team coach, is a candidate to be the next DC United head coach here in MLS.
Like for the men's?
Yeah, they don't have a women's team.
Whoa.
Ben Olsen was just relieved of his duties for DC United with good reason. DC United is pooper cheeks this year. And Jill Ellis, along with a few other candidates, is up for the new head coaching job for DC United, which I thought was really interesting, given that there's never been, obviously, a head coach in MLS that is a female. So I thought that was interesting for sure. What else do I got? Oh, Jack Wilshere is also a free agent.
I saw that. West Ham
let him terminate his contract. I don't know what your thoughts are on Jack Wilshere. I've always thought he's a decent player, but, you know, never could stay healthy. He's still only 28 years old.
Yeah, he's only 28.
Yeah.
He's not even 30 yet, dude. Yeah, I don't know. I think, I didn't really follow him at West Ham too much, but he put out, like, a statement how he was disappointed in how they, like, released him, that he thought he could still give a lot more. I always thought he was a solid player. I mean, that one performance when he was young, when Arsenal played Barcelona, he was unreal, dude. He was so sick. And I never knew what happened. I don't know what kind of injuries he had. Were they just muscle injuries? Like,
just little tweaks here and there. Tweaks in there.
And I think, honestly, it just came down to confidence, to be honest, too. Maybe he just lost confidence in himself. But I still think he could. I still think he can do a job. You know, I think, you know what, man? I think he would. If he really wants to probably just, like, play a lot, be competitive, I wouldn't mind him seeing in a championship. I don't know what you think of that.
That might be what he needs.
To be honest, I
although on the flip side, the championship, they play 46 games.
That's true. So
with his injury history.
So maybe, you know what, maybe like a Serie A move wouldn't be bad.
He really might just need a change of scenery, a change in level of play. To really get some confidence back.
All right, man, take him to the MLS.
I think that would be a really cool signing for the MLS.
I think so too.
I think he'll. I think he, his passion for the game is enough to where, if he's guaranteed, you know, to play, he'll play anywhere.
Yeah.
Within reason. Yeah. And I think MLS is within reason.
I think so too.
And I mean, if someone wants to take a chance on him with his injury history,
I found the fire.
Yeah, I mean,
fuck it. I don't know. We suck.
Play as a cam. They have some other decent midfielders in there. Play as a cam above the two other guys.
I'd take it.
I think there's a lot of teams in MLS who could benefit if they want to take the chance on him. Could benefit from that.
I agree.
So that's interesting to keep a lookout for, you know, what his next move is.
I saw Lautaro Martinez breaks a streak. I guess Argentina. I guess Messi was the only player who scored for Argentina in the qualifying since the end of 2016.
Really?
And then Lautaro Martinez broke that streak. So,
wow.
Congrats.
That's Argentina. Pretty sad that only Messi can contribute for Argentina, who is stacked with players.
Who have, like, all these fucking goal scorers. Trying to see if I could see anything off the top of my head here.
Just a couple of transfers since we, you know, transfer deadline day overlapped with our last episode. Sergiño Dest, to Barcelona. Good. Chris Richards also got his first start for Bayern Munich.
I actually kind of heard he looked like ass, but he got an assist.
They gave up some goals in that game, but he did get an assist, and he was playing out of position at right back, which I thought was odd. But yeah, man, I know you had mentioned to me over international break, since we don't really have too much footy-related stuff to talk about, how you wanted to see the United States play at least a friendly to see some of these guys together.
Yeah, because... Well, you can finish. Finish your thought.
Whereas I don't think this was the right, you know, I don't think there should have been an international break to begin with. I am very curious to see a window where we can get all these guys together and play a game. Because
I think
we got a ton of guys, basically a whole starting 11 and a couple more and some change that can, you know, field a team out of all European teams.
Yeah. Because I don't think when was the last time we saw the U.S. play? I mean, like, we haven't seen these kids all play together, right?
Gold Cup.
But that was only, like, Weston McKinney. That wasn't really everyone.
Maybe a couple friendlies late last year, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, so it'll be interesting because I think a lot of these players, I think their ceilings are really high. Especially Pulisic and Reyna's. I think those two are probably the most. And Serginho Dest. I'm curious to see how Berhalter, who I think is an ass coach, puts all these players together. I don't think there should be one MLS player in the starting lineup at all. Don't think so.
I agree.
If you have everyone healthy. But I'm curious to see how all these players play. Because obviously, I mean, I want the U.S. to do well. I was born in the U.S. I'm also Mexican. I mean, I want both to do well, and I want both to challenge each other. I mean, I think that'd be sweet. I think that'd be dope. So I don't really have, like, hate or anything towards the U.S. having better players come up now. I'm just curious, though, because I see, like, I look on Instagram, I see on Twitter ones, like, you know, oh, they're going to blow Mexico out of the water now, like, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, I see what they're saying, but for anyone that, like, just follows the U.S. soccer, I think that's a foolish expectation.
Yeah, it is.
Because
it is.
Let's be honest. They haven't played together. And playing in the international game is so much more different than being surrounded by top talent. Like, and you know this, too. I mean, in the CONCACAF, you go to these strange places, one being the Estadio Azteca, which is it's pretty much going to prison.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's pretty much like going to prison.
Yep, it absolutely is.
And then you go to these older random South American countries, like, or like island countries where the fields aren't that great. So imagine being like a 20-year-old Serginho Dest going to the Azteca, and you have piss being thrown at you, you have all this shit being thrown at you. I mean, it's a different type of world.
Yep.
And it's not saying that they won't succeed, it's just that it's gonna take time. I think it's going to take
time. The only MLS player I would even give a shout for...
Is Morris?
Is Jordan Morris.
Yeah.
It's the only player I can give a shout for. Literally every other position, even in some positions where I think that we are too deep with European players who play in Europe, there is nobody else who I can give a shout for that plays in MLS at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. You talk about Estadio Azteca. I mean, you can even say Costa Rica, tough place to play. Panama, tough place to play. Yeah. Jamaica, not as quality of an opponent, but surface wise, you know, stadium, terrible place to play. Yeah. I mean, and that's not even like I think about when, like, European teams have to play. Like, I remember Taylor Twellman, when we lost to Trinidad and Tobago, he made the comparison. A European team had to play Bosnia in a cow pasture, he described it. Like, just some fucking dump-ass little stadium in Bosnia where there's no money, no anything. Like, can't even pay a groundskeeper. Or Africa, even, like, going to Sudan, you know, like, you have to have the mental strength and the character of the team and, you know, a little bit of veteran presence to, you know, persevere in tough conditions like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, a bunch of young guys, 25 and under, may not be able to go in and do that. Not even, and I'm not even talking about Azteca. I'm talking about in Panama. I'm talking about in Guatemala, Costa Rica, yeah, and put out, you know, a performance that we might see them give in their club teams.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, so that's a great point.
I think
it's a great point.
I'm just saying,
and anyone who compares the team that we have that we haven't even seen be together,
yeah.
Foolish.
I just think people need to manage their expectations is all I'm saying. Like, and you know, I'm excited as well. Like, I want them to do well. I just have a feeling that there's gonna be some rough patches and some growing pains.
And
I don't trust to be honest, I don't really trust Berhalter either. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm gonna.
The jury is still out on him.
I'm gonna be full out and say like I don't trust him,
mm-hmm,
at all. For some reason, like, I kind of like, and I don't know if you agree with this, but I think Klinsmann's still been one of the better ones since like the past like two other ones we've had.
I think that he is one of the better ones, but he didn't have, like, if he had this group.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
The sky is the limit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
If he had this group. But when he was here, he had a lot of aging players that could not play that he wanted to play.
I know.
So. And that's not really either his fault or the player's fault.
No.
It was just the state of you know, the national team pool at that time.
Yeah.
And that's my opinion. Some people may disagree.
Yeah.
But if he had this pool. And the jury is still out at Berhalter.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he could surprise us.
I mean, if he has everyone, like all those European kids, and he still rolls out with like three, four MLS starting players,
he's got it wrong.
I'm taking him out into the woods and I'm shooting him. <in the head. laughs> Like, I'm telling you right now,
absolutely.
Like, it's just like, it's not acceptable.
He could still surprise us, but he could also be a total bust.
Yeah.
And I do think with Klinsmann, this would be the perfect group for him to play 100%. The way he wanted to play. But, you know, it is what it is. That he's not coming back.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, you can't really look at it that way.
No.
Too much.
No. And then you just never know which one of these kids will become the next Julian Green. I mean, you just don't really.
Yeah.
You just don't know. But it looks promising, though. I mean, they're all playing well. Yeah. They're all playing good clubs.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, and they have some even guys that are, you know, we're not even talking about yet, that are maybe the next crop.
Yeah, yeah.
That are, you know, with Ajax's, you know, lower team, like their youth team.
Yeah, yeah.
PSV's youth team. You know, we have the next crop is looking good as well.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's all we got.
Yep.
For Extra Touches, we are going to go eat some food now. So thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back hopefully on Sunday to recap all of this weekend's games now that international break is over. So we will see you next time.
All right. Peace.
I know you could have been a wonder, taking your suckers to the sky.